Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on Blue Zone Wellness on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida. Beautiful Orlando, Florida. It's a beautiful day here. I am a traditionally trained naturopath, if you're a first-time listener. Or if you've listened before, just to remind you, I am a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor with a practice and a ministry located in Orlando, Florida, and I approach natural medicine and alternative medicine from a Christian perspective. As we say here, the doctor of the future would give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. So be sure to join me right here every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. as we discuss some of the great insights into natural medicine and alternative therapies. We have a very interesting show for you today, but before we get started, let me remind you, as I do always, how you can contact me and stay up on some of the most cutting-edge natural health modalities. You can do so by following me at facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. Again, you can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. That's twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. Also, you can just follow and you can listen here. You can listen on blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. You can also listen live or you can listen to archive shows at BlueZoneWellness.org. BlueZoneWellness.org. You can also listen to those archive shows at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. Now, if you're on the chat right now, we have the chat room open. You can go there. We have links to most of those, to the Facebook page, as well as to the blog, Blue Zone Wellness blog, as well as to the Twitter, etc. Now, we have a very interesting show today, as I said earlier. And in our show, we're going to be talking about quite a few interesting topics. In our first segment, which is the Week in Natural News Review segment, and this is the segment where we discuss and analyze articles that have come out during the week. And this week we have three articles that we may change up, but right now we're looking at the first article we're going to discuss is going to be an article that came out around about the 24th of this week talking about how women who have high levels of glucose or blood sugar actually also how it affects their sex drive. Typically, we hear about it, those with diabetes or high blood sugar content, high glucose, blood glucose, having an effect upon men. But the research showed that it also has an effect upon women. We're also going to talk about a couple of other interesting healing topics along with that. But we'll spend a little time on that. We'll talk a little bit about high blood pressure as well as some of the natural things that can be done quickly with respect to helping to bring down blood pressure. We're talking about four fast-acting remedies to help lower your blood pressure, as a matter of fact. And then segment two, which is our healing food segment, we will be discussing mango. Mango, not only is it very tasty, but you will be pleasantly surprised at some of the nutritional benefits of mango. In our healing food segment, that's the segment that we pick a particular healing food, whether it be fruit or vegetable, and talk about some of the nutritional benefits of consuming that food. In our final segment, the healing herb or supplement segment, we're going to talk about, as I said last time we broadcast, we're going to be talking about vitamins and how they work in the body, the importance of vitamins, symptoms of knowing when you're deficient, and how being deficient in particular vitamins, and then after we finish going through the vitamin series, we'll maybe move on to minerals. We've done this with herbs already, but we're going to talk about how going to be a series in that's going to go through this third segment, and we're going to talk about how to identify some deficiencies in vitamins. Not only that, but also how to know that or some of the symptoms of being deficient in certain vitamins. Very, very crucial information. Very, very interesting information. I think you would love to listen to it and to be up to speed on this issue. It's very, very extremely important. Now we're going to get started with our first article right after this brief message.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. What a beautiful book. Published at Yahoo Health or health.yahoo.net on the September 24th, and it was the article entitled High Sugar May Equal Low Sex Drive in Women. And the article started off by saying when people hear about sexual dysfunction in connection with diabetes, they may first think of erectile dysfunction in men. But women with diabetes are also at risk for sexual problems as a result of their condition of diabetes. Now, let's talk, and as the article points out, but let's talk about this a little bit, exactly what is diabetes. It's typically type 1 and type 2. But we'll kind of follow also in line with the outline of the article as well, since we're discussing and analyzing the articles here in this first segment. Diabetes is actually a condition that results when sugar or glucose in the blood is abnormally high. This sugar can damage organs and systems in your body, including blood vessels as well as your nerves. Now, people with type 1 diabetes are not able to make enough of the hormone insulin, which is needed to move sugar from the bloodstream into the cells where it is used for energy. So the body uses glucose or sugar, and that glucose does not need to be circulating in the blood. That glucose needs to be inside of your cells for energy, and so this is where insulin comes in, which is produced by your pancreas. So a person with type 1 diabetes is typically not able to make enough of insulin to be able to get the glucose into the cells. A person with type 2 diabetes may not produce enough insulin, or in alternative, their cells may become unresponsive to the work of insulin. And this is typically because of unhealthy diet and unhealthy lifestyle. This is why people with type 2 diabetes, this is basically almost wholly a lifestyle disease. One study, according to the article, shows that approximately 18% of women with type 1 diabetes and 42% of women with type 2 diabetes have some degree of sexual dysfunction. Now, this is interesting. Let's look at that again. One study showed, according to this article from health.yahoo.net, published on September 24th, pointed out that as many as approximately 18% of women with type 1 diabetes and 42% of women with type 2 diabetes have some degree of sexual dysfunction. The article also cites another study which indicated that as many as 64% of menopausal women who have type 2 diabetes have sexual problems, while approximately 41% of premenopausal women with type 2 diabetes have sexual issues. So to make a long story short, whether you're premenopausal and you have type 2 diabetes, or postmenopausal and you have type 2 diabetes, or if you have type 1 diabetes at all, period, there is evidence, strong evidence, that you are suffering, or if you don't have diabetes and you ultimately are diagnosed with diabetes, are suffering or will be suffering with some form of sexual dysfunction as a result of the diabetes damaging the body. The article goes on to point out that in women, uncontrolled diabetes can actually cause damage to blood vessels and nerves in the genital area, including the vagina. This can result in a variety of sexual problems. Now, let's look at some of the problems pointed out in the article that affect women with respect to the issue that we're discussing here. The article points out, first of all, that one of the things that's come out of the study is that women will have difficulty becoming aroused or responding to sexual stimulation. They will have difficulty becoming aroused or responding to sexual stimulation. Secondarily, the article points out that they will have a decreased desire for sexual activity, or in other words, low sex drive. Another side effect or result is decreased vaginal lubrication or vaginal dryness. Another one is pain or discomfort during sexual intercourse. And lastly, of the five that's pointed out in this particular article, difficulty achieving orgasm. So those are the five points pointed out in the article of the sexual problems resulting from diabetes, type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Let's go over those again. 1, difficulty becoming aroused or responding to sexual stimulation. 2, decreased desire for sexual activity or low sex drive. 3, decreased vaginal lubrication or vaginal dryness. 4, pain or discomfort during sexual intercourse. And 5, difficulty achieving orgasm. Interesting. So we begin to understand very, very quickly that when we talk about health and staying healthy and staying eating healthy and overall lifestyle and those 8 laws of health that we talk about here on Blue Zone Wellness, it's just not that you don't feel well, but there are other issues that play into being unhealthy or having these lifestyle diseases. And so here's one way that we see, or one example that we see in this particular article, where your lifestyle habits can actually affect your lifestyle even more, your sex life. And this, again, most of the time, I've had people who suffer from hypertension come to me, or who suffer from diabetes, and because of the diabetes, or because of the side effect of the diabetes, or the results of the diabetes, or the results of the high blood pressure, or the results of the medication that they may be on, sometimes the side effects, and usually it's men that articulate it, they have problems with erectile dysfunction, rather. And so they have come in there saying, listen, I need something to work for me because my sex life is basically destroyed. And now, according to this article, studies have shown that women with type 2 diabetes are more likely than men to stop having sex if they begin to have these dysfunctions. Not only that, the article went on to point out that women are also less likely to talk to their health care providers about issues with sexual function. So many times, women may not say anything about it, you may not see commercials about it, but the fact of the matter is the studies show that it's actually there and that it's not insignificant, that in fact it's actually quite significant, with percentages as high as 64% for menopausal women with type 2 diabetes and around about 41 or 42% for premenopausal women with type 2 diabetes. Those are not numbers to sneeze at. So again, we talk about those 8 laws of health. Let me repeat them again. Trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. They are crucial to understand and to know to follow with respect to your health. You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness here on blogtalkradio.com, or you may be listening on bluezonewellness.org. Thank you for listening. We're going to move ahead to our next article. Before we do that, if you would like to call in with a question or comment, You can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We also have the chat room open. We're going to move on to our second article in the Week in National News Review segment this week. And that second article, the first article we talked about, glucose or blood sugar being too high, and women having diabetes, and how it affects their sexual function. We'll move on to another article that was published on naturalnews.com on September the 30th. That is the day. An article is entitled "Lower Your Blood Pressure Naturally with These Four Fast Acting Remedies." One of the remedies I decided to replace with one of my own. But we'll go through and look at this. We'll stick with what the author said in the article with regard to the other three. He points out in the article that natural blood pressure or hypertension afflicts many who may not be aware of it. In fact, it is referred to as a silent disease among those without recognizable symptoms. It's estimated that around 1 in 3 Americans have high blood pressure. The author points out that some recognizable symptoms include heart palpitations and dizzy spells, and that people who are overweight, pre-diabetic, or diabetic tend to have higher blood pressures. And that is true. People who are typically overweight, people who have hypertension and diabetes, many times in people that we see, we will see that they, if they have hypertension or if they have diabetes, many times they will have what we refer to as syndrome X, where they will not only have one, but they will have sometimes three. They will have hypertension, they will have high cholesterol, and they also have diabetes. And because they are often or interrelated, and this is one of the things about why natural medicine, we treat the entire body. We realize that the body is not separated. The body works interconnectedly. And so we realize that if you, as I said before, just because you have a headache doesn't mean that the problem originated in your head. And so you have to look at the body as a whole. This is one of the reasons they refer to natural medicine or alternative medicine as holistic medicine. But getting back to this article again, published in Natural News today, it talked about how you can lower your blood pressure naturally with these four fast-acting remedies. Again, I've replaced one with one of my own fast-acting remedies. I think it worked faster than one of the ones that was pointed out in the article. Anyway, we will continue to analyze the article. And I want to find it. Let's just look at some of the statistics really quick here before we get into that. And the latest data from the CDC's website points out that, and the latest data that they have there is from 2008 with regard to cardiovascular diseases and issues. And according to them, in 2008, over 616,000 people died of heart disease. And they point out also that heart disease caused about almost 25% of deaths. Almost 1 in every 4 in the United States. That's 616. That's more than 500,000 people in 1 year. They also pointed out that heart disease is the leading cause of death for both men and women, and that more than half of the deaths due to heart disease in 2008 were in men. Additionally, coronary heart disease is the most common type of heart disease. The CDC points out that in 2008, 405,309 people died from coronary heart disease. They point out further that every year about 785,000 Americans have a first coronary attack, and another 470,000 who have already had one or more coronary attacks have another attack. That's a combined number of over 1 million people a year. They point out further that in 2010, coronary heart disease alone was projected to cost the United States $108.9 billion. That's a billion with a B. And they pointed out that this includes the cost of healthcare services, medications, as well as lost productivity. Now, the article that we're analyzing here didn't include those statistics, but I just decided to go and pull those statistics just so we can get an idea of the enormity of this problem with cardiovascular health and the importance of why we need to make enormous changes. When you have a disease or a condition that's wiping out over half a million people a year, that's an epidemic in terms of yearly averages. Those who die the most have the highest percentage of death from cardiovascular diseases are African Americans at 24.4%, according to the CDC. American Indians or Alaska Natives, 17.9%. Asians or Pacific Islanders at 23.2%. Hispanics at 20.7%. And whites are actually the highest at 25.1%. African Americans are second at 24.4%. And those are pretty high numbers. Now let's move on to some of the natural remedies that should first be optioned for high blood pressure or cardiovascular disease overall. And one of those, as pointed out in the article as well, and I agree wholeheartedly with that, is CoQ10, coenzyme Q10. I recommend it often in my practice, quite often, actually. And so I agree wholeheartedly with this article, CoQ10. And the author points out that CoQ10 has been, or coenzyme Q10, has actually been tested clinically to actually reduce, and has been found to actually reduce both systolic and diastolic levels with people who have high blood pressure. Systolic being your top number, which is typically 120. That represents the exertion during the time period when your heart is actually beating. The diastolic actually represents the pressure upon your vessels when the heart is actually at rest, which is typically about 80. So 120 over 80 is regarded the average. The article went on to point out that in talking about the benefit of CoQ10, has been tested clinically to actually reduce both systolic and diastolic levels with people who have high blood pressure. And he points out also that CoQ10 is renowned for increasing cellular energy and promoting heart health. He goes on to say that two recent studies have demonstrated significant reductions with systolic and diastolic readings in 3 months or fewer just from using CoQ10. He points out that one study used 100 milligrams of CoQ10 twice daily, and the other used 60 milligrams of CoQ10 twice daily. Now, in my practice, whenever I recommend CoQ10, I always recommend the sublingual type, simply because you don't have to deal with the issues of the it having to go through the gastrointestinal tract and being broken down and all of those other issues. It can go almost directly into the bloodstream and a sublingual form. And if you give it in a sublingual form, you can reduce the amount of dosage that it needs to get there. So I actually give it in 30 milligrams, or recommend it in 30 milligrams per cap or per pill, per sublingual pill underneath the tongue. And so because we're not having to worry about it having to go through the gastrointestinal tract, a large amount of it can get into the bloodstream and is not lost through the gastrointestinal tract. The second recommendation in the article is hawthorn berry, which I wholeheartedly agree is one of the most efficacious herbs for your heart. It's a traditional Chinese medicine tonic for the heart and the cardiovascular system. It can be used as a tea, it can be used as capsules containing extracts or even tinctures. And it is actually, there's some studies, the author says in this article, the following institutions and journals all agree that hawthorn berry is as efficacious as pharmaceuticals for high blood pressure and heart health issues without the side effects of pharmaceutical meds. And then he cites the institutions and journals that agree that hawthorn berry is just as efficacious as pharmaceuticals. And he cites the University of Maryland Medical Center, the June 10, 2009 issue of the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, the February 18, 2009 issue of Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine, and the 2009 issue of the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. All of these, he points out in this article from naturalnews.com, have identified hawthorn berry as being just as efficacious for high blood pressure or hypertension and other heart health issues as are pharmaceutical meds without the accompanying side effects. And I am not surprised by this at all. Having used it in our practice, we see that it's very efficacious, especially when used as recommended and used consistently. The next remedy that's recommended in the article is ginger, and ginger is also very, very efficacious in helping with blood pressure, high blood pressure, and circulation issues. And anything that helps with circulation issues are of course going to help with cardiovascular issues in general. It has been demonstrated that it has actually blood thinning attributes as well as calcium and channel blocking attributes, as he points out in the article, which keeps calcium from entering the heart and adhering to inner artery walls that calcify and create blockages. The article points out further that some high blood pressure pharmaceutical meds are actually calcium blockers with side effects, unlike ginger that can be a calcium blocker but without the side effects. And he goes on to point out how ginger can in fact be taken in capsules or made into teas with thin ginger root slices, etc. Just as a side, if you are a woman that suffers, if you happen to be suffering from pain due to of PMS, one of the things that you can do is you can get fresh ginger and make some, boil it down, and you can drink it. And if you get just the right amount of water with it, you can pretty much stop that pain in about 15 or 20 minutes if you're having PMS. But yet you still need to consider the underlying cause, which in most cases is estrogen dominance if you're having those issues. Finally, the fourth thing he mentions, but I'm going to replace his, he even mentions natokinase, but I'm going to replace that with cayenne pepper. You've heard me talk about that before if you listen to the show, for hypertension as well as for cardiovascular health. If you combine that cayenne pepper with the hawthorn and the garlic, you're going to have a very powerful remedy there for hypertension as well as for blood pressure, or as for overall cardiovascular health. Now, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. Hopefully you're listening on blogtalkradio.com or either on listening on bluezonewellness.org. We're still in our first segment here. This is a segment that gives us articles that came out in the week. This is what we call the Natural News Review segment. The final article that we're going to talk about in this segment is an article also from naturalnews.com, and it's entitled "Big Pharma's Profiteering Has Reached a Breaking Point. 45% of Americans Can No Longer Afford Prescriptions." It was published only yesterday, September 29th. The article points out that drug companies have gotten so greedy, their words, I'm quoting, "and the American public so financially distressed that nearly half of all Americans under the age of 65 who normally take prescription drugs are no longer doing so because they allegedly cannot afford it." This is according to a new report compiled by the Consumer Reports National Research Center, or the CRNRC, which also found that 63% of those in need of medical care are skipping trips to the doctor because of the high cost involved. Now, the article went on to point out that based on a poll that included more than 1,158 adults over the age of 18, the Consumer Reports and National Research Center found that 62% of Americans under the age of 65 avoided getting recommended medical tests in 2012 because of high cost, while just over half avoided getting a recommended medical procedure. The article goes on to point out that in total, more than 80% of those polled indicated that they skipped either a medically related procedure, a medical test, a doctor's visit, or a prescription because of the expense. Now, one of the reasons that we're having these expenses, as you've heard me say this before, with what we call allopathic medicine, is because allopathic medicine is based upon treating disease as opposed to curing it. This is not to say, as I've always said, that allopathic medicine does not have its place. It does have its place. It has some great contributions. And when it comes to issues of trauma, it is the best in the world. But when it comes to issues of treating diseases, chronic illnesses, the natural medicine, alternative medicine, whatever you wish to call it, holistic medicine, wins hands down. And this is what's costing us the most money. As I pointed out earlier with respect to cardiovascular diseases are costing the U.S. over $108 billion a year. And that's just that disease. That's not to mention the other diseases that we have here. And so, as pointed out here, the medical system, the way we have it set up, has become so exceedingly expensive, that this is one of the reasons that they felt that it was necessary to come up with the new healthcare law. And although it has many issues, something needed to be done. Not that I necessarily agree with the idea of forcing people to buy insurance, but at the same time, we couldn't keep on the same system, and I really don't think it addresses the issue. The real issue is not so much shifting the calls from one set of people to everybody, but in bringing the calls down. And the way you do that is by addressing aggressively the overall lifestyle. The article went on to point out that when it comes to, and I'm quoting, when it comes to prescription drugs, consumers are spending on average $63 out of every pocket, $63 out of pocket every month, which can easily swallow up a big portion of the family budget, quoting Lisa Gill's prescription drug editor for Consumer Reports in a recent press release about the finding. Continuing to quote Ms. Gill, the article points out, it's even worse for those without insurance for medicines who pay upwards of $91 a month for their prescriptions. And the article says further, the number of adult patients under the age of 65 who skip their doctor visit because they could not afford it jumped 16% last year, while the number who avoided a prescription jumped 19%. So basically, to make a long story short, the healthcare, this article just pointed out that the pharmaceutical companies are profiting at such enormous rates, and partly because of the financial state of the U.S. as well as other countries, the people are simply not being able to afford their medication. This is altogether another reason that we should shift so much emphasis from drug medication and shift it over to natural remedies and alternative medication. Finally, the article goes on to point out that the average cost of health care for a family of four with an employer-sponsored insurance plan also topped $20,000 for the first time ever this year. So if you have a family of four, and you have, and even if you have an employer-sponsored insurance plan, they're saying now that it's going to cost you, is upward, it's not, it's topping, it's going, and it's going to keep rising, $20,000 for the first time ever in 2012. That is a significant amount of money. That's all the more reason to not only be and stay healthy, but also to learn to be able to use and know how to treat yourself or go to alternative practitioners to get recommendations on how to treat particular diseases and not only diseases but other abnormalities. There, trust me, there are many, many, many things that you can do to educate yourself and your family and help yourself and your family where you would only have to go to the hospital in extreme cases. And you can save a lot of money in these cases. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. And we're going to go into talking about our healing food. Our healing food for this week is mango. You'll be surprised. Not only are mangoes delicious, but they have a very, very, they're very, very beneficial, rather, and the nutrients and how they feed your body. We'll be right back after this.
Would you love to eat healthier if you could eat food that was delicious? Well, now you can at Tropical Refresh Restaurant right here in Orlando. Imagine eating amazingly delicious food that is not making you a heart attack victim waiting to happen. Choose from mouth-watering veggie burgers, veggie chicken, veggie chunks and beans, etc. And don't forget our amazingly delicious non-dairy ice cream. Choose from flavors like grape nut, pina colada, strawberry, and more. Enjoy a real meal without guilt. Call now, 407-310-8023 or toll free, 855-543-3243. That's 407-310-8023 or toll free, 855-543-3243. And experience Tropical Refresh Restaurant, where there's a delight in every bite as you experience a taste of the tropics.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you two bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
You can also, if you have a question or comment you'd like to make, you can do so at the in the chat room here. We are going to go ahead and go into our next segment, which is our healing food segment. And we're going to, again, be talking about the benefits of mango. Now, I don't know that I've met anyone that does not like mango. And it is a very tasty, delicious, refreshing fruit, especially when it's hot. And it gets quite hot down here in Florida. But outside of it just being a delicious fruit that our Creator has given us, it's also a very beneficial fruit health-wise. And remember, I've said the closer that you eat in line with the colors of the rainbow, the healthier you will be. And the best way I said to remember the colors of the rainbow is by a gentleman we call Roy G. Biv. I'm sure some of you may have heard about Mr. Roy G. Biv when you were in school, grade school, or junior high school, or high school, in college, or wherever you were given this acronym to remember the colors of the rainbow. But Mr. Roy G. Biv is the easiest way to remember the colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet are the colors of the rainbow. And if you eat, if the majority of your foods that you're eating, the natural foods especially, fresh fruits and vegetables, if they're in line with those colors of the rainbow that our Creator has given us, it's a covenant of good health, then you will have a lot, the likelihood that you will be diagnosed with some disease or abnormality goes down significantly. Let's jump right into it, looking at some of the things that, some of the benefits that we can get from consuming fresh mango. Mango, one of the things mango can do is it can actually help contribute to helping prevent cancer. Research has shown that antioxidant compounds in mango fruit actually have been found to protect against colon and breast cancer, as well as leukemia and prostate cancers. We've talked about this before with respect to pineapple being able to help prevent, and even in some cases help reverse, stomach cancer. And so some of the same similar antioxidant compounds have been found in mango in terms of being able to help reduce the likelihood or to protect actually against colon, breast, leukemia, and prostate cancers. Some of these compounds include compounds such as quercetin, isoquercetin, astragalin, phytocin, and gallic acid, as well as a lot of other enzymes. Mangoes are very abundant in enzymes. So by eating mangoes, you're actually helping your body to protect itself against cancer. Additionally, mangoes can actually also help lower your cholesterol because of the high levels of fiber, pectin, and vitamin C. These all help to lower the served cholesterol levels, specifically your LDL, or your low-density lipoprotein, which is considered your bad cholesterol. Next, also mangoes can be have been found to help with cleansing skin, which is all fruits and vegetables, especially those that are high in antioxidant, are helpful for this. But mangoes are actually specific; they actually help clear clogged pores and help to eliminate pimples. Now, we've talked about also. The reason that must be is because whenever you cleanse the colon and cleanse the blood, you're not going to have the issue of putting that burden upon the skin, which is your largest organ. You typically only get those pimples and bad skin, etc., whenever the other eliminative organs have become backed up and are not functioning at optimal levels, and therefore the body then begins to kick off these poisons through the skin, and then you end up with issues such as pimples and some of the other eczema and some of these other psoriasis and some of these other skin issues that you can have. But mangoes, no doubt, partially because of their high fiber content, help keep things moving and helps cleanse the system. Also, one cup of sliced mangoes supplies 25% of the needed daily value of vitamin A. This actually also helps promote good eyesight and also helps prevent night blindness as well as dry eyes. So by eating mangoes, you're actually helping your eye health as well because of the vitamin A content. Not only that, because of the tartaric acid and the malic acid content of mangoes, as well as the citric acid, they'll actually help to alkalize the body as opposed to the acid content of a body. We've talked about before the importance of the pH. The pH being the body likes to be just a bit more alkaline than acid, and by eating mangoes actually help contribute to that. If your body is in that alkaline, just tilted over to the alkaline area, it's very difficult for diseases, viruses, microorganisms to grow or proliferate and set up shop and cause the internal environment of your body to be open or easier to be subject to disease and other abnormalities. It also helps, mangoes can also help with diabetes because mango leaves actually help normalize insulin levels in the blood. Now, one of the traditional home remedies that have been used by some in treating using mango leaves to help diabetes is that they take the water and they place mango leaves in water. They soak them overnight and leave them in water throughout the night, and then boil them, and then they drink the water after they strain it from the mango leaves. That is one of the traditional home remedies that's been used involved in treating themselves with mango leaves. Also, because of their fiber content, as I mentioned earlier, papayas as well as mangoes actually help with your digestion, as well as it helps the fiber also helps keeps things moving through your gastrointestinal tract. This is one of the reasons why it would also be beneficial and preventing cancers of all kinds, but also in preventing cancers of the colon area as well, because you don't have the trash and the muck accumulating in that area and turning into poisons that are not moving through. Finally, because of the high content of vitamin C, or the generous amounts of vitamin C as well as vitamin A in mangoes, plus more than 25 different kinds of carotenoids, these all help build the immune system. So by eating mangoes, because of the vitamin C content, not to mention the vitamin A content, and also the 25 different kinds of carotenoids, your immune system is getting a big boost. So those are just some of the benefits that we know so far in our healing food today of mango. So remember, when you're eating a mango, not only are you eating your food, but you're also taking your medicine. So, and it brings to mind that old adage, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. You listen to Blue Zone Wellness. I hope you're either listening on bluezonewellness.org or at blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. I remind you, if you would like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. We have about 15 minutes left as we go into our final segment. And in this final segment, we are going to look at vitamins. And this is going to be a series. This is going to be very, very important. This is very, very important. And the reason it's so important is that most diseases and abnormalities at their heart, chronic diseases and abnormalities at their heart, are essentially severe nutritional deficiencies. if it be cancer, if it be diabetes, or if it be some other abnormality, some other chronic disease, when you get to the bottom of it, two things you have to do. And every natural practitioner would know this. Two things you have to do. First, you have to cleanse the body from the poison that are dragging it down. And then you have to rebuild the body with nutrients, vitamins, minerals, etc. Now, many times the poison, the reason you have to cleanse the body first is because the poisons will many times consume your buffering minerals, and your buffering minerals being minerals like calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium. These help keep the body alkaline. Poisons, trash, will actually cause these minerals to be consumed in order to try and keep the body in an alkaline state. This is why it becomes necessary in a disease or abnormality to first cleanse the body from the poison and then rebuild the body by putting back into the body these nutrients. Now, when I talk about vitamins, I would talk about them in terms of supplements and also getting them in foods. Now, there are some people who take the position that you should never take vitamins in a supplement form, but you can get all the vitamins that you need in your food. And generally speaking, that is true. But you have to, when you're in actual real-life practice and you're dealing with people who are severely, severely, severely deficient, there are times when they are sick that you have to give them vitamins, high doses of vitamins or minerals in order to bring their body, the levels, back up to where it gets to the point that they're not getting enough and just eating the food. They will have to also get them, they will have to take therapeutic amounts, mega doses even in some cases, to bring, because they're so deficient, to bring their body levels back up. And then once those body levels are brought, or the levels of those nutrients are again brought up to where they need to be, then they can go back to eating the amounts of foods that they eat to get the amount to level off the amounts in their body. But so there's some who take that position, and I don't take that position. I believe it's very, very important that in some cases again, if the person is severely, severely deficient, it becomes necessary sometimes to give them high dosages. In fact, in a lot of natural medicine, they will call it, I think Dr. Linus Pauling, he called it orthomolecular nutrition. But if you are a practitioner, you would know exactly what I mean. And if you're a practitioner that does not know or have not experienced this, you will sooner or later. So you may have to give high dosages of vitamins. So here's one of the reasons that we're going to be going through this. So as we talk about, we're going to talk about the importance over, we're going to be doing a series on this. We're going to be talking about how you can get, which foods have these vitamins, deficiency symptoms of these particular vitamins and nutrients. We'll start off with the vitamins, and as weeks go by, we'll go over also into the nutrients, the minerals, as we did earlier with the, when we talked about the different nutrients that are contained in many of the herbs. Again, many people have this idea that that herbology, for instance, is they have these visions rather of someone somewhere in a back room mixing potions. The fact of the matter is, herbology is actually, or the practice of herbology is actually quite scientific, as it is with all natural medicine. Of course, there are some areas of natural medicine that have been people have come in and. As in anything, you have slicers. But the fact of the matter is, natural medicine as a whole, alternative medicine as a whole, is actually very scientific. Now, as we talk about this, I just want to give you an idea of how I'm going to address it. The dosages that I'm talking about, and that the body would need are for adults and for children weighing 100 pounds or more. The appropriate dosages for children vary according to their age as well as their weight. A child weighing between, say, 70 and 100 pounds should be given 3/4 the adult dosage, while a child between 7 and 70 pounds and over the age of 6 should be given half the adult dosage. Moreover, a child under the age of 6 years should be given nutritional formulas designed specifically for young children. So just understand that when I'm talking about these vitamins and the amounts needed and how to identify when you're lacking in some of the symptoms of deficiency. Also, I'll be mentioning the RDA, or the recommended daily allowances, and the ones that are specified by the government are what they are, but they are typically far too small to provide good health. And so when you look at the recommended daily allowances, I'll mention the recommended daily allowances provided by the government, But the recommended daily allowance, again, is usually far too small to provide good health, and even less beneficial if you already have some disordered condition. Now, also, as opposed to the recommended daily allowance, I'll talk about the optimum daily amount, which is the best for regular living. Just if you're a regular person, you don't have any diseases, but you want to keep up on your overall health. Now, and again, unless you're growing your own food and you're eating largely of organic food or wild or food that you're growing yourself, if you're eating mostly food that's grown on a regular basis, you need to be supplementing because of the way that they're growing food these days, you're not getting all of the nutrients that you need. You can come very close by eating a varied diet, but still you're probably going to need to supplement. So I'll be talking about the recommended daily allowances. I'll talk about the optimum daily amount. Again, that's the best for a regular living person who didn't have any ailments or sicknesses, but they're just trying to stay healthy. Finally, I'll talk about therapeutic daily allowances. And this is what is needed when a particular vitamin is needed to help bring healing. So all the measures that I'll be talking about here are amounts needed for one day. And we're going to start out by talking about B vitamins. And first of all, let's stop and talk about vitamins as a whole. Without vitamins in your body, you would quickly perish. You would die. Vitamins are actually crucial to all of our life functions. They're sometimes called coenzymes because they work with enzymes, or also called chemical catalysts. And they enable them to trigger all of our body processes. So let's start talking about our B complex vitamins. You have a dozen or so B vitamins in there. Every one of them are very, very important, and they should be. And if you're taking a supplement, you should take all of them together. That's why they call it a B complex in general. Since they do work together, and you have B1, which is called thiamine or riboflavin, B2, B3, niacin or niacinamide. You have B5, pantothenic acid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these vitamins are very, very important. For best results with any of these B vitamins, again, you need to take all the B vitamins together at the same time. This will give you the best result. Now, I also like to make another caution. Prolonged use of large dosages of any one of the isolated B complex vitamins can actually result in high urinary losses of other B vitamins, resulting in deficiencies of them. So this is why I say that it's best for best result to take the vitamins together. Now, also we're going to go ahead and talk about what do they function? What functions do they have? What do they help? How do they operate in the body? What parts of the body do they help to perform at an optimal level? They're very, very beneficial for your nerves, your eyes, your skin, your hair, your lips, your mouth, as well as your muscle tone. We're talking about your B complex vitamins. Now, for them to be properly assimilated, you need vitamin C and E, as well as calcium. So all of these, they work synergistically. And so you need these, you need vitamin C and E and calcium for your B complex vitamins to work, to be assimilated. It's no good in taking them if they're not being assimilated into the system. Moreover, again, they're used by your nerves, your eyes, your skin, your hair, your liver, your mouth, your muscle tone. When people come to me under severe stress and they've depleted their adrenal glands of their B complex vitamins, your adrenal glands are your shock absorbers of the body. You have to get on some B complex vitamins to actually bring back up your levels, bring your levels up again, for you to be able to deal with stress. Or actually, you can actually go into a nervous breakdown. So let's stop and say, okay, what is the recommended daily allowance by the government? Only 1.4 milligrams, which we don't think that's high enough. What's the optimum daily amount? The optimum daily amount we would say is 50 milligrams a day, and if you need therapeutic levels of B-complex vitamins, you're talking about being up around 200 to 500 milligrams a day. So it's recommended that you take between 50 and 100 milligrams a day, daily. In the elderly with age-related mental impairment, including Alzheimer's, you need from 3 to 8 grams daily. So that's quite a bit. Now, what are some of the richest food sources of B1? And if, let me back up for a second here. We're talking about B1 now. We're going to just want to zero in on B1. Let me back up and say, okay, B1, the recommended daily allowance is 1.4 milligrams. The ODA, or the optimum daily amount, is 50 milligrams. And the therapeutic daily amount is 200 to 500 milligrams. And if it's an elderly person with age-related mental impairment, including Alzheimer's, you're looking at 3 to 8 grams. Some of the richest sources of B complex, of your B1 or thiamine, is brewer's yeast or tortula yeast, wheat germ, sunflower seeds, rice polishing, pine nuts, peanuts with skins. Other good sources also include wheat germ, wheat bran, most whole grain cereals, especially wheat, oats, and rice, all nuts, all seeds, nut butters, all beans, especially soy, and even milk and milk products, which we don't recommend unless they are soy milk or soy milk or rice milk or almond milk. Some vegetables, including beets, potatoes, and leafy vegetables, also include vitamin B1 or thiamine. Functions now. Let's talk about why is it that you need B1? Why is it so important, or thiamine, and why you don't need to find yourself in a deficient state? It protects and it helps your heart, not only your heart, but your muscles, your brain growth, your nervous system, peristalsis, that is the motion of your intestines that moves food, et cetera, through your gastrointestinal tract. It's also good, it's beneficial, it's helpful for your red blood count, your circulation, as well it works with the other B vitamins in energy metabolism. So a lot of people, when they say, I feel tired, this is typically a person that's chronically tired and chronically fatigued, I would typically always look at their B vitamins, their B complex vitamins, because I'm looking over, I also look over at their adrenal glands. That would tell me, generally speaking, if they're getting enough rest, first of all, they could be tired because they're not sleeping enough or not getting enough rest, which the stress from that could also help deplete the adrenal glands. But typically, adrenal fatigue will be one of the main issues that people will feel tired all the time. And one of the reasons you can see here, as we talk about B1 or thiamine, is because B1 helps together with your other B vitamins in terms of helping your energy metabolism. Principal uses include, if you take the supplement, thiamine deficiency, especially if you're a diabetic, Crohn's disease, multiple sclerosis, as well as other neurological diseases, including things like epilepsy. It's also used, supplementing with B1 is also used to prevent and treat impaired mental function in the elderly, including Alzheimer's. Now, we're running out of time here, so let me give you, in terms of thiamine, some of the deficiency symptoms. They include muscular weakness, slow heartbeat, defective hydrochloric acid production, that's the acid in your stomach to help you to break down the food, chronic mental depression, diabetes, neuritis, edema. Eating lots of sugar, alcohol, or refined foods can actually lead to a deficiency of B1. Severe deficiency actually results in psychosis. In fact, up to 30% of those entering psychiatric wards are actually deficient in thiamine. We will continue through our march through these vitamins, and I highly suggest that you take notes. It's very, very important. We'll be back here with you next Sunday. We plan to be back here next Sunday at the same time, from 4 to 5 p.m. We will follow our same format where we will look at the Week in Natural News Review. We'll have a new healing food for you. We plan to have a new healing food for you, and we plan to tie up vitamin B1 and go on to vitamin B2, which is riboflavin. We talk about some of the deficiency symptoms, the functions of the vitamin in your body, the need for assimilation, some of the same things that we've talked about here, and some of the recommended dosages of it. We thank you.